I'm Brett. I got my video card with the most board.
Should be in a grocery bag. I'm thinking that can turn the SP. Most of those cards, but I don't remember them being on video cards. Bizarre, man.
Yeah, I searched them online, and it looked exactly.
Why do you have that?
Sorry?
Why? What caused you to have such a thing? From an old system?
Yeah.
A very, 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 very old system?
Yeah.
I understand.
Well, it's ISA. Of course that's real.
That's impressive.
Actually, I tried to mod this onto my, like, core i7.
How would one do such a thing?
I don't know.
Hence the try to that statement.
You wouldn't load my Windows 7. I'm serious, that's actually why I don't play
This is injustice towards humankind.
Do we have a class on Thursday too?
I have one scheduled, but I don't expect to do anything, so no.
And there's, we're all done our labs. Oh, class on Thursday then.
Good afternoon.
Hello.
What's up? How are we doing?
There's
less. Can you say
bored?
We had a Cisco exam at 8 a.m. and then
we were in Rich's class.
Yeah.
Nothing till now.
Well, it makes you feel any better. I've been here since before 7 and I've done this, so. I did, however, finish up the final exam. And in finishing that, while it was still fresh in my head, I wrote out a brand new review. I don't know what it is we covered last day, but anyway, being that that was in my head, this is what came out, it's probably good to listen to it. The final exam, as you know, is next Friday. It is at 3 o'clock. You don't have to applaud that. I just got an email reminding me that my marks are due Monday morning. There is no chance the test center is going to have your test back to me by Monday morning. It's not going to happen. So they'll email me your mark, at least for the multiple choice portion anyway. I won't see your test. Nobody will ever see your test. You'll probably never know what you got on the test unless you ask me someday, but no time soon. Next semester or sometime after that.
I'm going to email you Monday morning.
You'll be promptly ignored. Monday comes along, you'll have an email saying that if you email me, it will be ignored. I think that's it. Now, the test, as I said, is 100 multiple choice, potentially easier than it's ever been. Beyond that, there are some short answer. I can't tell you how many. It's not many, but there are some short answer. It's out of 120 altogether. And I want to mention this because it wasn't a one-off situation. I've seen three people now since I've been here that have said the same thing. Yeah, I didn't bother with the bonus section. Yeah, there's no bonus section. It's part of the test. The whole test, I promise, there's no bonus section. It just happens to be out of 120 instead of out of 100. So their words are almost exactly the same every time. Yeah, I know for sure I got 50, maybe 55 on the multiple choice, so I just stopped. Like, yeah. You get 55 out of 120, you fail, son. So you might want to, slow down and do it. So what can I say? It's a pretty straightforward test. It's 18 pages. It's a meaty test, no question about it. But I don't think it'll scare you too badly. There is no more choose all that apply. It's all very straightforward. Choose one. I can't stress enough, read the questions carefully. Find out what the question is actually asking you and ask that. There's a lot of negatives. There's not a lot of double negatives, but there's a lot of negatives. There's a big difference between can and cannot, is and isn't, that sort of thing. Read the question slowly and carefully. That's all I've got for you. As I said, this will be our last day in class anyway. We're done lecture. We'll be done review. We're done lab. Thursday, I'll throw it out there. During our normal lecture period, I'll be in the lab. I understand that a couple of students came to me saying that they're surprised, and I am too, that you guys never made a network cable, which I think is kind of odd. But anyway, so if anybody's interested in making a network cable, can come to the lab during the usual time of the Thursday lecture and make one if you wish. You can keep it as long as it's not like 100 feet long. There's no marks, there's no expectation, you don't have to be there, there's no pressure whatsoever. I know a lot of the people I usually see on Thursday are only there because they have a lab with me in the morning anyway. Obviously there's no lab Thursday morning, so I can appreciate you guys have a lot of other things to do. But I'm still here. Rich will be there. As much as I've made probably dozens, maybe 100 cables, Rich has probably made thousands, if not tens of thousands. So if he's around, I might just have him do a quick tutorial with you as well, or at least assist you anyway. That is correct, yeah. You guys never made an network cable? That strike you as awesome.
Not here.
Yes.
Why didn't they, instead of like making us buy five cables, make us buy the crimping tool? And
that would be significantly more expensive, though significantly more useful. Number one, actually making a Cat5e to a lesser extent, but a Cat6, which is pretty much a standard now, for a normal, regular person to actually make one with just hand tools and fall within the actual specs of it is virtually impossible. We'll have cable testers there. We'll probably test a short length to Cat5e, maybe to Cat6, but certainly Cat5 anyway. But beyond that, the most important one, until there's all sorts of stuff that goes on in the background about these cables you guys buy, and up late it's been 20 emails going back and forth. And just recently they've gotten the prices for, as far as cables go, and the need for cables and everything else, the future students are going to need one cable, I think it is. But until recently, it proved to be the exact same amount of money to make a cable as to buy a cable. Generally speaking, the ones that are bought are a little more reliable. Now, it's gone back again to where it's actually cheaper to make them, so they're throwing the idea around to bring that whole thing back. But to answer your question beyond that, I don't know. I think it would be fantastic to have a toolkit with a crimping tool in it. They don't come cheap, but let's face it, you can use them. I mean, you want to make cables to the exact length rather than just, you know, coiling them up and putting a zip tie around and things like that. Right. I'm going on and on. I don't even know if I answered your question or not.
Tools also last forever, so.
Tools do last forever, until they get left around the lab, and then I get to keep them forever. But yeah, no, absolutely. I think it's odd that technicians wouldn't know how to make a cable. But again, I can't stress enough, you don't have to come in just for that, honestly, to watch a YouTube video and know how to do it. But if you do want to get your hands dirty and actually make a cable, come on in. Maybe it works, maybe it doesn't. Maybe you make it straight through, maybe you make a crossover. Mr. Cross, are you going to buy me a car?
No.
No?
I'd love to, but this is a work environment, so.
I understand.
I was wondering, I think there also be, you know, maybe a possibility, not this year, but next year, following up with the students to have like a printer test, sort of like, okay, guys, stop the printer lab. Because I know the lecture is all about printers.
Yeah, I would love
but even having, like,
we've had it in the past.
Even like, maybe having like a whole, like, maybe even a demo here, for example.
Even
printer as a printer can do this.
Yeah, I did have the demos in class, and we did have it in lab many years ago. I probably could have still brought one in for class, but I found it to be, I don't know, I'm holding tiny things up here. I was like, yeah, there's a primary grid. People are like, what the hell is he holding? Which is why videos, I suppose, are theoretically better. As far as having them in lab, we did. They're tremendously messy. I can't imagine the hundreds of dollars in shirts that we went through that couple of years.
Aprons?
Yeah.
Lab coats.
Yeah.
This is getting expensive.
Like, bring your own. I have one.
You basically say, Brent, run two courses. Here's a box of popsicle sticks. Come back to us for any money whatsoever. So the best I can hope for. I mean, you know.
I'm just curious.
You
want
a solution? That's a solution. Get your aprons.
No, the apron.
You know, I mean, I
literally
watched the video. I'm not just saying.
Oh no, it was a terrible video. No question about it. There actually was two laser printers, one in the mail room and one in the back room of the lab that died this year, so potentially I would like to integrate those, but I'm not familiar with them enough yet, and they haven't written them off yet, so I can't play with them yet. But those are the two that I've been eyeballing anyway, only because they're relatively recent. The stuff that I bring out, you're like, what is this? 1998? And it really is from 1998. Now, granted, laser printers haven't changed much since then, but yeah, when you consider the weighting of laser printing in this whole hardware field, it's a valid point. It's something I'm definitely working on. Sadly, it won't benefit you guys, but potentially the future anyway. The people that you'll be hiring years from now, maybe. Anyway, is there any questions before we get started about the final exam, about life in general? How much horsepower? It's up to stage one, so it's about 335. Yes?
How hard is
the
short answer question?
Very, very easy. People look at the short answer and go, wow, a short answer must be super difficult. Think of it the other side. Think of it as a way for me to give away marks. I just scan it for buzzwords, check, 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 go on. Yes?
How much would I pay you to have you Richard Series? How much can I pay you for you guys to Series?
For us to street race?
Yeah, like down baseline, you know? quarter mile from Cordova to the...
You get cost, like,
the one thing. Yeah, cost one mile.
Block the door off?
It would probably cost quite a bit, but, you know, we'll head down to Los Angeles and sort it out.
yes.
Anyway.
Case of beer.
Case of beer. Yeah, we'll have that before the race. Right. Any questions? Not about my car. Yang, 335 horsepower. Told you. Go ahead.
Missed a lap.
You missed a lap? That's unfortunate. What lap did you miss? Oh, you're in Thursday group.
Yeah.
Well, show up on Thursday.
I did last lap last Thursday. So.
Say? You did last Thursday?
Yeah, but the crew is fine.
Okay, we'll show up there. I'll be there. The systems will be there.
What?
You'll be there. Everything will be great. Right. I can't stress enough, everyone, Yang, answer the questions as asked on the test. Here's the backstory. Where was this guy born? No, just exactly.
Is it too turbo?
What's that?
Okay, let's do the review.
Yeah. All right. Anyway, what we're here for, the actual review, yeah?
Yes.
Okay. Again, I'm going to hit on stuff that we did last day, I'm sure, so just say skip, miss, whatever. Again, know the four steps in the troubleshooting process. Did we do that last day?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. The six steps in the laser printing process, I can't stress that enough. We did that last day? We've done it a thousand times. Okay, fine.
Is it new or old?
I try to keep it as generic as possible that it won't matter. But I expect you to know the old. If you want to know the new, all the questions will still apply. Went to great lengths to make sure of that. You can come back to that if you want to. Are we tired of the six steps yet?
Going in CCWDTF.
Bam. Bam. All right. What's a separation roller used for?
Colors.
That'll go back to your little video there. Separation roller. Pretty self-explanatory, but humor me anyway.
To take one paper at a time? One
right.
Paper at a time?
Separates the papers, yes. So it picks up one page. What happens if it wears out?
Takes more than one page.
Paper jam.
There you go, paper jam. List items that would be considered preventive maintenance.
Of a computer?
Defrag, yes, a computer.
Okay. Oh. Wasn't sure if we were still talking printers.
Oh, right. Oil change. yes, computers, sorry, PCs, you're right.
Check disk, scan disk,
okay.
Scan.
Check disk.
Weekly virus scan.
Virus scan. You said defrag already.
System restore maybe.
Say again.
System restore.
Potentially yes, or at least having those backups available. Sure.
Do you see inside computers?
Yeah.
Vacuuming. Cleaning. Regular updates. All right. Enough.
Cleaning the inside of the computer. The dust with the dust blower.
Yeah. If it's a lot of dust, use a vacuum. But yeah, you can blow it out if you need to. What's a typical beat code for dislodged memory?
One long.
You gotta be careful asking what the beat code is. Yes, one long repeated. Usually stops at 10, as I said, but nobody sits around to wait for the 10th one. What about a video error? What are your options?
One long, three short.
One long, two short. You got it.
Is it Brent? All the beep codes are beep unplugged.
Yeah, there you go. I've never heard the end of a beep. Lightning reflex. Multiplier question. It's not a question. Okay, 3.2 gigahertz processor, 400 megahertz front side bus.
800.
What is the multiplier?
What was the front side bus?
400.
3.2.
We'd have a weird number. Yeah, 3.2. Want you write it down?
Yeah.
That's a weird looking 3, but okay. 3.2 gigahertz processor.
You're both
it's a 400 Megahertz front side bus.
8.
What's the multiplier?
8.
Yes. Pretty straightforward, yeah? 32, 3.2 gigahertz is 3,500. Front side bus is 400. Just knock off the zeros. 32 divided by 4 is?
8.
8. Cool with that?
Very.
Okay. Pretty basic math, yeah? Good. All right. What is SCAM?
It's a SCAM.
It's not printers.
SCSI automatic.
SCSI SACM, but close enough, yeah? SCSI configured.
Automatically.
Or automatically if you're really, really old. Good. Self-explanatory, but what is it anyway?
Configures the SCSI IDs.
Okay, good. Configures out the SCSI IDs. Sets up termination as necessary, so it's basically plug and play for SCSI.
It's a scam.
It's a scam indeed. They love their acronyms. How does the device, scam aside, those scams can do it, how does the device get assigned a SCSI ID, or how do you go about assigning a SCSI ID to a device?
Manual?
Go into the SCSI BIOS.
Okay, you can do it from the SCSI BIOS. Normally it is a setting for the card. Good.
Jumpers.
Jumpers. Dip switches? Well, auto termination won't assign a SCSI ID, but that will help answer my next question, which is how does it get terminated? And pretty much all the above, which is to say, SCSI BIOS, again, jumpers, again, dip switches, again, and as Yang said,
auto termination.
You got it. Why doesn't termination apply to SAS devices?
Because it's on daisy chain.
That's right, it's not daisy chain. It's on its own exclusive little port. What is SAS, by the way?
Serial attached.
Serial attached SCSI. Laptop dark screen issue. Yeah, it's not a question. All right, converter, CCFL, you got it. If you have to replace a power supply for a laptop, what do you want to keep in mind?
Do not ground yourself to it.
Okay, do not ground yourself to it. Do not hang yourself by it. Do not use a bungee cord, a lot of weird things. What else?
Replace on a laptop?
Yes.
Voltage.
This thing is dead. Voltage. What about voltage?
Want a matching voltage.
Identical. Good. What else do you have to concern yourself with?
Amperage.
Amperage.
Higher than the standard.
Exact or slightly higher. Good.
Frequency.
Frequency? Okay. Yeah, don't get one from Europe, I guess. Good.
Make sure it has a connector that matches the power graph.
Actually, that's a good point. Yeah, make sure it actually has a connector that matches your system.
Yeah.
On both ends.
Don't get one from Europe. Yes. Indeed. Can you replace a power connector in an actual laptop?
Yes, you can.
Yes.
Yeah.
Easy? Difficult? Some have a wiring harness, as you said, and some you actually have to solder. Good. What is PCI-X?
Sort of PCI extended.
Okay. PCI extended.
Higher bus. Right.
It's faster? It's wider? Serial or parallel?
Parallel.
It is parallel. Good. Does it have backwards compatibility?
Yes.
Does it have forward compatibility?
No.
You can typically use a PCI card in a PCI Express slot. And you can use a PCI X, sorry, I said Express. You can use PCI X cards in some cases in a regular PCI slot, as you did last semester with the SCSI card that was actually PCI-X card. Oh, come on. Really? Not
to completely going on.
That thing on? No, okay. I'll show you some factors. Anyway, carrying on. What is the difference between a x4 PCIe slot and a x16 PCIe slot?
Four times the memory.
Okay. It's four times the bandwidth.
Awesome.
Probably larger. Can you put a x4 card into a x16 slot?
Of course.
Yeah,
very slow. Well, you're not using the full extent of the bus for sure. You're probably using the full extent of the card. Could you go the other way around? Can you put a x16 card into a x4 slot? Oh, you don't need to see
yes,
that
but then
you
only get four.
No, it would never
fit.
see if I actually have this here. You should be able to pretty much identify everything on this chart within reason.
Oh God.
Why fine within?
Oh, okay.
Anyway, what do I actually
within
want
reason
to see?
Being three of them.
We have to know the Apple sockets.
No, you don't. Yeah, I didn't make the poster. I just stole it. So what we have here is we have a lack of screen. Where's our refresh? Incidentally, PCIX, PCI Universal, as you can see, it would fit in quite perfectly. And the other way around, for that matter, even though the 5-volt would fit in PCIX. But what we're actually talking about is, of course, in this case, it's a BI-1 versus a BI-16. You can see the beginnings of it is exactly the same. You can easily put a BI-1 into a BI-16 slot. Just clearly, it wouldn't work the other way around. BI-1 slot is only that long. This card is significantly longer. I think I just wrote it on the screen. You get the idea.
But sometimes BI-17 can put it into BI-4. Because the BI-4 will have been terminated in one end.
You said it was BI-17?
Wow. You did. No, BI-16, put
okay.
into BI-4. Because the BI-4 don't have a snatch there, it's kind of open wide.
Why would you want to do that?
Some systems just have something like that.
What bizarre universe, you have a BI-16 card and only a BI-4 slot.
check the X58 gigabyte.
You sure this wasn't some fantastic convenience?
So
that's good stuff. Anyway, carrying on. Sorry. Load of that. There's a couple things on there you won't recognize, but most of it I think.
Want to post that?
What's that?
Yeah. Post that. Post that.
Want me to post that?
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. If you want me to. I don't know where it's going from. Anyway, carrying on. What was different about the 137 gig hard drive limitation?
It was a. It wasn't a physical on the disk side. It was on the addressing space in the table. Like,
okay, so addressing was an actual issue. Now, addressing up to that point had been an issue on occasion, but they managed to solve it with flashes and patches and various other things. Could they solve the 137 gig limitation with a BIOS flash?
No.
The patch? Magic? No. It's something physical. Either you had 48-bit addressing or you did not. There's nothing you could do to make a system see something larger than 137 gigs.
So
if it doesn't have a
137 gig limit, which is able to.
I mean, there's just been so many different limitations up to that point. If I listed them on, it'd go on forever and ever, but they could all be solved fairly easily from a technician standpoint. That was the one that the left technicians just kind of scratching their head and going, we got nothing. So you need a new motherboard, you need a card, you need something, because it simply isn't going to work. Number of pins on an 80-conductor parallel ATA cable per connector. 80-conductor cable. How many pins on that connector?
80.
Not 80. 40. Correct. Number of pins on a serial ATA data connector, I guess?
7.
Power connector?
15.
Got it. Incidentally, I think this poster is wrong on that one. Various power connectors that you're well familiar with. Yeah, this one calls it a 5-pin. It's a far left there. It's left on my screen. Yeah, it's left in yours as well. But it is in fact 15, I promise. It's just a mistake on our part.
15 for power connector?
Yep, and 7 for the data.
Sir?
Sir.
The dark signal again.
You want me to what now?
See the connector here?
Oh no, I've seen them. Thanks, though.
So, why?
Because I looked at it.
No, the power adapter is like 5-pin or 16.
Well, it's a laptop, isn't it? Not only that, it's a low-profile laptop. It's not the same. They call it Slimline, I think it was. I was just looking at it a few days ago. It's rare. It's weird, but of course you have one. Anyway, carrying on. I promise I won't ask about your...
How many years on the end?
Yeah, it's still stupid.
Bonus question just for the people that showed up today. How many power connectors on Yang's laptop?
Yeah, there we go. That's cool. Everybody else be like, what the hell is this? Anyway, yes. Sorry, I saw a hand. Yes.
So why does it say 5?
Because they proofread as well as I do. There's 5 cables going to it. I suppose that could be something. They're literally, each one is broken 3 times. So maybe that's what they're going for.
Speaking of, my offer to proofread your test still stands.
Of following Saturday, you're welcome to. Number of pins on everything. Really, honestly, you should know the number of pins on every stick of desktop RAM, laptop RAM, every possible connector.
DDR, 184, DDR2, 240, DDR2, FBDIM, 240 pin.
There you go.
240 pin DDR3.
I want you to know your XDR, damn it. Which is there, by the way. That's one of the coolest things that Rambo's ever made. It's in your PS3.
How about like the older type of RAMs, like the chips and stuff, no?
No, I'll try to stay away from that. As likely as it is that you're going to run into that. No. Number of pins on a floppy connector?
34.
Fantastic.
That was a
count. How many pins on a P1 connector?
Four.
We'll
one
say the
24.
Most recent version of...
24.
24. Fantastic. PCIe power connector?
Six or eight.
Berg connector?
Four.
Wait, we're still on the same one, yeah? Good. Berg is four. P4 connector, also
four.
GATX 12 volt. Good.
How many was on that?
Much on the screen right behind me, aren't they?
It's four pins.
That was a P4 connector, which incidentally is, do they have it here? Modular. It's, no, that's basically a broken up, but not quite the same. Yeah, they don't have it listed there. They actually have P8, P9, look at that. Anyway, this is from the old AT days. I don't think they'll run into that anytime soon.
What did you say had 24 pins?
That's a P1 connector for the newest version of ATX. The white one, fourth from the left, is the older 20-pin. The newer version, fourth, is 24-pin. Ah, there we go. They're calling it CPU. That's your P4 connector. Of course, on the far right there, at the bottom, is your PCIe 6 and 8-pin modular. Minimum number of drives necessary for different levels of RAID implementations. So,
all 2, 5, 3, and 64.
They're all 2 except 5, 3, 6, and 4?
No, sorry, like for RAID 5,
so,
2 drives.
Okay.
RAID 6 and 4.
Okay, good. Yes? I don't remember.
Because he's talking way too fast.
I understand. Usually people complain that I'm talking too fast.
Everybody's talking too fast.
All right. Be quiet. Kareem needs to listen. All right. The question was the minimum number of drives necessary for a RAID implementation.
Okay, for 0, it's 2. For 1, it's 2. For RAID 3, it's 3. For RAID 4,
fast,
three.
Fast,
for RAID 5, it's 3.
Zero.
Are you catching all this?
No, I just want
the
question.
And
that's
for
cool.
RAID 6,
the answer is one big slide, actually, from last semester. Spencer says, basically 2, 2, 3, 3.
You should put that as one of the answers.
2, 2, 3, 3, 4?
No, one big slide from last semester.
Yeah. What is a memory leak?
When the program does not give the memory back to the CPU.
Good. What is safe mode for?
Troubleshooting.
Okay, it is for troubleshooting. Give me more. What's different about safe mode? Because normal mode can be used for troubleshooting.
It only loads basic drivers and doesn't start most programs so that you can be working with a very basic system.
Okay, cool. Can you enjoy your sound card to its fullest potential in safe mode?
Basic drivers.
Can you use your keyboard?
Yes.
Right.
If you could, then you would suck.
Even more so. When does one need an analog audio cable connecting their optical drive to their sound card?
They're using Windows less than XP.
Okay. So potentially it wasn't the default for Windows 2000 and everything previous to that. Did you still absolutely need one?
If you didn't want to listen to CD audios, you didn't.
Was there any other option other than using that cable? Okay, you can plug your headphones into it, sure. There's a checkbox in every OS, it's just by default not checked, 2000 on back. But nonetheless, if you've got XP, do you need it by default?
No.
Vista?
No.
7?
No.
The question was about
a cable that goes in some.
The audio cable is actually for the analog audio cable. What are the two sizes of express card slots? 34 and 54, you got it. Should it got backward compatibility? That's to say, can we put a 34 and a 54?
Yes.
Indeed we can. Can we put a 54 into a 34?
No.
Oh, that's not fit. Can you put a PC card into it?
No.
No.
It was 34 and 54 for what?
Express card. Basically, this. Well, I mean, that's a filler card, but try to imagine it's a really cool card.
Do that a lot with your computer, do you?
A lot of imagining, let me tell you. Everything must be imagined. What does degaussing do? Degaussing, degaussing, degaussing. I don't really care. What is it?
Lose the rainbow stripe.
Snaps. Okay, lose the rainbow stripe. Caused by magnetism from the deflection coils. Good. Name other types of distortion you might find on similar types of display units. Pincushioning. Paralleling. Trapezoiding. Parallelogramming. Good. Oh, what type of display apparatus would that be?
CRT.
Right. Do LCDs degauss?
Oh, yeah. Nah.
Okay. What happens if you boot a system with a non-bootable floppy disk in the drive? Presuming, of course, that the floppies that have the hard drive and the boot sequence.
Nothing.
Insert boot.
Or if you try.
Things come to a grinding halt and it gives you a lovely little error. Same question. Non-bootable CD.
It'll ignore it.
Yes, it'll ignore it altogether. People do it all the time. Like an audio CD or whatever CD in there. Good.
Non-bootable CD.
Non-bootable CD? Nothing happens. Just ignores it and carries on with the boot process. Non-bootable floppy disk stops dead in its tracks and gives you some error message from the 80s. Rate efficiency is measured by how much hard drive space is used by unduplicated data. Apparently parity counts as duplicated data. What's considered the most efficient and the least efficient types of rate?
0 from least efficient and 6 from most. 0 and 5.
I think you had them reversed. 0 is extremely efficient in their eyes. Totally not redundant at all. No fault tolerance whatsoever, but it's very, very efficient because it uses 100% of its drive space for unduplicated data, yeah? So what's the least efficient?
6.
Presumably. I mean, it can vary depending on how many drives you have. In fact, I think we could probably say that 1 is probably the least efficient, because how much is actually used for unduplicated data?
What actually is
based on, space-wise?
It would be situational, but I still think this one pretty much trumps all, because no matter how many drives you have, how much of it's actually used in 1?
50%.
Right. So a minimum, we know how many minimum drives we need for rate 5 or 6, for that matter. 6 potentially could share the same amount of efficiency. If you had the minimum number of 4 drives and you had dual distributive parity, naturally it would use the equivalent of 2 drives for the parity. But anything beyond that, it gets much more efficient. What about RAID 5? Minimum number of drives for RAID 5, one more time? 3. And how much of that is used for parity? The equivalent of? Right, 1/3, so roughly 33 and change percent.
So the least efficient would be 1 or 6? 1.
I think 1 is the safest. I mean, they'll be identical if you go the minimum number of drives for 6, so it gets kind of mushy there. But 1 is your guaranteed, yeah, inefficient king. Name some data recovery software.
Linux.
Recover?
Yeah, Recover is good.
Ghost. OnStar?
Ghost, sort of.
OnStar?
OnStar? That button you press to talk to the Cadillac guy?
Something.
Oh, yeah, okay. What is that called? OnTrack, thank you.
OnTrack, that's a thank you.
Yeah, that works. Test disk, photo rec, get data back.
Magic crawl.
Magic what?
Magic crawl. It's hard disk to.
It sounds awful. Magic is a sound. I think that's a yes. We're good with that? What is a differential backup?
It only takes the data that has changed instead of everything.
Good. So the data that has changed since the last full backup. Incremental. Korean.
You just add on to whatever. It was different. Well, not different.
Okay. Anything that's changed since the last backup of any kind. So my usual situational thing there, we could make a full backup on, Monday. Excellent. What day do you want to crash?
Monday.
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 Monday. Monday. Monday. Monday. Probably one. Okay. The Monday before the backup. There is no Monday before the backup.
On the Monday, you're doing your backup, but you crashed before you did that backup.
So what if you do the backup at like midnight plus 1 second? Okay, so what do you need? We'll call this Friday afternoon because it's a rough equivalent, but sure. How many disks do you need if it's incremental?
How are you doing incrementals every day?
Incrementals every day except for Monday, naturally. Do a full backup Monday, incremental Tuesday, Wednesday,
so you'd
Thursday,
need
Friday.
5.
So you would need your first first original full backup, and then you're going to need for every single day.
Good. How many days are there?
I don't know.
Do you do backups on Saturday and Sunday?
So four?
Four plus the original, so yeah, five. Good. What if there's differential? How many would you need?
Two. Monday and then the last one.
Yeah, Monday and then the last one. Unless it actually crashes on Monday, you're always going to need two no matter what. Which means, of course, it's getting bigger and bigger and bigger, so it's inefficient but a lot easier to bring back to a working state. What does it mean to hot plug a device?
Plug it in while the computer's on.
Yeah. Plug it in while the computer's on. Good. Or unplug if necessary, I guess.
You say hot plug, not hot unplug.
I never use the term hot unplug. It just sounds wrong. Dirty, but anyway. What devices can be hot plug?
A lot of server. A lot of servers parts.
Okay, so various server parts, sure. On a typical desktop system, let's say.
eSATA?
USB.
USB?
Mouse, keyboard.
Mouse, keyboard, provided they're what? Can we unplug it, can we hot plug any mouse and keyboard?
No.
Well,
no.
Is it not? Depends on which connector connecting.
So, no, depending on which connector connecting. Is that what you're trying to say?
Yeah.
It's like yes, but pronounce it. So, we got USB already, so presuming it's a USB mouse or keyboard, perhaps, or whatever bizarreness you're going to come up with. Yeah, you don't want to hot plug those. Those are PS2. They're definitely not hot pluggable, despite what I've seen people trying to do. The keyboard doesn't work. Of course it doesn't. It probably never will from this point. What else?
Audio connectors.
Okay, so you can plug an HDMI if you want to. Not the video card, but the connectors on the card.
Secondary SATA drives.
Okay. Ish, depending
yeah.
on the standard.
CPU.
FireWire, Express card, PC card.
Thunderbolt.
Thunderbolt, if you're good at fortune.
Yeah.
All right, good.
HDMI.
HDMI. Yeah. Can you hot plug floppy drive?
Not a good idea.
So we'll assume it's a traditional floppy drive. What about parallel ATA, internal?
Depends on ATA,
internal.
Yes.
That is the
BIOS.
Okay.
If you go into the BIOS, you probably shut down your system.
No, the BIOS approves it's like a hot clavicle. There's a check mark, that's one out there. For right now system.
You sure it's an option?
Oh, that's not too
nothing.
Optional.
Okay. For the rest of us, living in this world.
No.
parallel ATA, don't hot plug that. Very, very bad things happen. Alright. What is a hot spare in a RAID array? That's a little redundant. In a RAID.
It's a drive that's already running.
Okay.
And already had so that you can put it in right away and have the information transfer over.
Okay, good. And you use the term
failover.
Fantastic. So it's a drive that's actually live, it's connected, it's powered, it's probably spinning up, and it's just waiting for one of your other drives to die and will replace that immediately, which is a lovely thing to have in a RAID. What is Memtest 86 used for?
Testing your memory.
Pretty self-explanatory, isn't it? What wires are used on a typical Molex or Berg connector? I can roll to the left if you want me to here.
Yellow, black.
Yes. Good. Pretty much looking at it. Incidentally, they call the Berg connector the mini Molex, which is a little bit weird, but whatever. and of course, they do have red, yellow, and black. Again, no voltages of each of those. What type of device is an MXM card?
Graphics card for laptops.
Excellent. What is a mini PCI or mini PCIe card?
Expandable.
It can be wireless.
For laptops.
Nice.
MSATA.
Very, very. Say again.
MSATA.
MSATA. Lovely. Oh, yeah, you got that going too, eh?
Mm-hmm.
Did you get it going?
Yes. No. Yes, sir. He's using it. He's
I like the clarity
for me.
Okay, cool. So they didn't write a BIOS just for you? Yeah.
Why did I can upload it because the you know, serial number doesn't match.
Gotcha.
I couldn't wait for us until my
yes.
Sense.
What is a continuity module with respect to RAM?
It's for the ones that are serial. The RAM.
Ones that are serial.
RAM bus.
Like
RAM bus. Got it. And of course, they're basically.
Do we have one here?
I think it's like
Hey, check it out. Continuity module. Third from the top. Oh, wait. I don't know what you guys are seeing. Yeah, third from the top for you guys, too. There you go.
The crim spacer?
A crim. Continuity module. Use the crim. What is the difference between CMOS and BIOS? Apart from spelling. That's the stumper, really?
Firmware, CMOS is to configure that firmware.
That'll do. Good. BIOS is the firmware. ROM. CMOS is?
Storage.
Storage. What type of storage?
Non-volatile.
It is volatile. What makes it volatile? What defines volatile?
It needs
power. What supplies power?
Battery.
Battery. You got it.
You said earlier, continuity module is used in RAM bus?
Correct, yes. If you've got RAM bus, let's say you've got four slots and you've only got two sticks of actual... Yeah, there we go. There's some RAM bus action for you there. Let's say you've got two sticks of these, but you've got four slots. You've got to throw in two of these in the empty ones. It's serial architecture that it has to be populated. What was the key combination used to get into an Adaptec SCSI card setup? You've seen it twice now.
Control A.
Yeah. Know your color coding of 3.5 millimeter connectors on a sound card. Do we have to go through those again? Why would you deliberately clear your CMOS?
Because you brought the machine up so bad.
Okay, messed it up in what sense? You put the time in so completely wrong that it's...
somehow you've changed something.
Okay. You've disabled something. You've done something. Usually it's a... overclocking situation, but it could be almost anything. Something that leaves you in a situation where you made a change and your system simply won't boot again in the name of self-preservation. It's just not booting.
Or you're just too lazy to find what you changed.
Yeah, which actually in real life isn't all that rare, but in my lab I have a lot anyway. Did a hand go up? All right, how would one go about deliberately clearing their CMOS? Paper clip. That SDI thing again. Go ahead. You had something, Bill.
I just said disconnected.
Disconnected the CMOS.
Like, take it out and put it back in.
That'll do. And many boards have simply a button you press if they're designed for overclocking that clears it. Other ones have a jumper. We can set the jumper for 15 seconds. To the clear CMOS position, in which case it interrupts power, and it's as if you're taking out the battery. Again, remember, you take out that battery, unplug the power supply, otherwise nothing really happens. What is MTBF?
Time before failure.
Right.
Is that 1.2 million?
Is that between or?
Between, but I'm not that much of a picky person. What are the three phases of a product's life?
Infant mortality, consequences,
phase out. Basically where it dies quickly.
Yes. Wear out. In the lab, the SCSI card and some onboard radio controllers said BIOS not installed, even though it clearly, obviously was installed. What did it mean by that? Or what was it trying to say and failed miserably?
There was no boot drive on the SCSI bus.
It was saying that, but it's actually saying that with the M13 error that came immediately before or after that one. What does it mean when it says BIOS not installed? It came with it. It told us that because we couldn't disable the BIOS, yeah. Basically, it meant that it's not shadowing that particular ROM into memory. What does it mean to shadow ROM into memory? It does it with your system ROM, it does it with all sorts of different ROMs, particularly your SCSI ROM, your RAID ROM, your optical disk ROM, etc., etc. Shadowing ROM means what?
Have a backup?
It's not really a backup per se. It means it copies it to RAM so it can access it all the quicker and easier. So when you go into your CMOS, going back to that CMOS BIOS thing, a BIOS, as you no doubt know, is dozens, if not hundreds of routines, most of which we don't use. We use the CMOS setup program to tell it which of those we are actually going to use, and those are the ones get shadowed into RAM so it can access them very, very quickly. In the lab. No, wait, I just asked that one. Never mind.
What was that error?
In that case, I don't use that error just to sort of give it some relevance. In that case, the BIOS not installed. It's very unfortunate that we saw that a couple times. But, oh well.
What is a duplexer?
On a printer.
Print both sides.
That allows you to print both sides, correct. Not really a question, but understand the difference between memory types and module types. Give me an example of module type.
It's like DIMMs and
DIMMs. DIMMs, DIMMs, good. Give me an example of memory type.
DDR.
DDR, that'll do. What is DDR400 also known as?
PC3200.
Well done. How'd you do that?
Times it by 8.
Math. Okay. Let's get a little more specific. What math did you have in mind there?
8 times the number.
Yeah, it's calculus. Yes, multiplying by 8. That's right. Always multiply by 8. It's not a question, but it says be able to identify by sight any port or by description. We describe the port to you.
I'm screwed.
15-pin female, back of your computer, D-shell. Two-row.
Two-row. Media gene port?
Yes.
Media?
Yep. That is... Do we have one? We do. Ta-da. Same thing, three rows.
UGA.
That's right. That blue one, slightly south and east of it. Etc. Just to make sure if you have a picture of any connector that you can say, I know what that connector is.
Do we have to distinguish between the separate types of DDI ports?
No. No, if I ever give you one of those, it would definitely be a DDI I dual link, which is pretty typically that one right beside the VGA. What would cause the system to appear dead?
What's that? The power connector on the floppy.
Okay. Power connector's off by a pin?
It's
okay. There's no mother. There's no parts inside
missing
that case.
CPU. There's no parts.
No
missing
memory.
CPU. Missing CPU. No memory.
Not plugged in.
Not plugged in.
No
video card. You usually get some sort of beeping, but no video card potentially.
Well, it's not unless you can save the sound. Connecting both an HDMI and UGA cable to a monitor.
Really?
Yeah.
Now, does that make the monitor appear dead or the system?
Well, nothing appears on the monitor.
Ah, okay. What else?
What about a dying network card? That's what I had.
Yes, a lot of people did have it. Any card that would cause a short of any kind?
Not plugged in.
Not plugged in. Not turned on.
Incorrect.
Desert island with a computer and there's no hydro whatsoever. Yes, all of those things are just dandy. Again, I'm more concerned with asking you the questions than waiting for the answers anyway. What is Taiwan?
Oh, 20.
Wow. I jotted those down very quickly.
For scanners?
For scanners, okay, more.
Okay, so that, isn't it so that the PC and the scanner can work? It doesn't matter which scanner you're using.
Right.
PC, that'll still work.
Good. It becomes completely invisible to the application what the actual imaging device is. Everybody knows what interpolation is? What is interpolation?
It's when it smooths out the pixels by adding some to make it more high-res than the scanner can actually produce.
Good. Appearing to scan in high resolution that's physically capable of scanning by throwing in pixels that aren't really there. CCDs? We did that last day. Know your scanner stuff. Know your server stuff. How wide is the standard server rack?
19,
I believe.
19
miles?
Inches.
You got it. How many pins on your standard EEV power connector for a server motherboard?
Oh,
six.
God.
Nope. You're thinking EPS. Power connector is just the main connector. It doesn't look that different from an ATX one. In fact, it looks remarkably similar. 24. You got it. EPS connector is my next question, but I think somebody just answered it. So how many pins? So we have one here.
8.
It is 8. There we go. I got the CPU 12 volt. Third from the right.
Is 24 pins for EEV?
EEV,
oh,
yeah. Entry-level electronics bay. Stupidest acronym ever. The point is, I think, just remember that servers now in the most recent ATX are using the exact same number of pins. Servers typically have the front lights, buttons, speakers, everything connected as one big connector rather than all the tiny ones. How many pins on that ribbon? Say again. That was last year, Zach.
Hard thing with the servers, we only saw videos on them.
Yeah. Did you attend?
How do you pay attention to that guy talk?
How do you pay attention to me talking?
Yeah, you don't talk, this Italian.
24 is the magic number. As long as you know 24, no matter which of those questions come up, 24 is still the answer.
All I remember is that he cracked his motherboard and then it, like, during the thing, he actually cracked his motherboard, put in the memory in, and then he had, like...
Really? And he recorded that?
And then later on...
I like, played the video like 20 times,
like,
I actually watched it. Yes. Oh, you know, like with a PC, there's all the little connectors for power and reset and lights and the whole bit that you connect for the front panel. When it comes to servers in the EEB standard, they don't have individual ones. They have one big 24-pin connector. Kind of looks like a miniature floppy connector, really, 10 less pins. Right. What is a power good signal? Great. The power grade signal then. What is a power grade signal? Okay, you want the return to be 500 milliseconds or less, so that's more my opinion than fact. It's certainly under 900 anyway. What happens if it gets interrupted?
Your system won't start.
Right, or if your system's already running, your system shuts off. It simply has to be present at all times. And if it's not, the CPU goes into a reset cycle that makes it appear effectively dead.
What
happened?
Say again? What was the last one?
The last one. The question or just the last part of it?
Question.
The question was... I scratched it out. What is a power good signal?
Now,
it's actually a line on a power supply. Of course.
So there's no tolerance? Like if it's gone for like 1 millisecond, she shuts down?
Yes. Okay. Or at least as fast as it can anyway. If it doesn't, it's just sheer luck or bad design. All right, I've run out of those questions. I put power protection here, but I didn't have a question following it. I don't know. What makes a surge suppressor better than, I don't have one to show you, a crappy power bar? What does it have?
Fuses.
Fuses.
What do we call those fuses?
Breakers.
No. Got it. Metal oxide varistors, or MOVs. All right, that's the end of that. How are we doing for time? Terrible. We're done. We're done. People are so much louder than the first day I met you. Holy crap. Right. Yeah, it's been a slice. Goodbye.
How much more are there reviews now? I finally did.